right, man. Welcome to Crow 777 Radio. This is hour one of episode 654. Jason Lindgren is with me and Dr. Selig joins us. We're going to get into a lot of things here. I'm almost certain we'll be referencing the cell salts of salvation and other things of the like. I want to open up with gold and silver. For those who have been paying attention, I think we're seeing a real shift that matches what's going on in our era. And I'm talking about the physical metals, which will lead us in the same direction. Anyhow, welcome, Jason.
And a rather pleasant good afternoon.
Welcome, Dr. Selig.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be here.
It's good to have you. Before we jump into anything, why don't you lay down any websites, contact info, books, anything you would like to lay down?
You know, the best place to find me is Back to Natural Health. That's my website, and that's where you can find me. And if you're interested in some of the work, I got a lot of YouTube videos. I have a whole cell salt presentation on YouTube videos on the cell salts.
Okay, for those listening, Salts of Salvation is one of the books on my book list. It is very, very interesting and drawn up by people who had not detached the sky clock from the idea of health, from the idea of nutrition. And that is a major beneficial idea. And I see lots and lots of minds who are serious about nutrition and health, scaling the sky clock back into the work as it should be. After all, if you recall, most alchemical procedures, or at least certain ones, are timed to the sky clock, and that is for a reason. All truth resides in nature, and it requires what it requires. We don't launch winter in June. No, winter follows the sky clock as the example for that. But Dr. Selig, have you been paying attention to the physical gold and silver market? It's crazy.
It's absolutely crazy. And yes, I've been following it for 20 years. I think I started stacking silver around 2006. And, you know, I keep saying that silver is going to hit the moon, and then you see it finally bust a move, and then government comes in, does their nefarious little manipulation on Wall Street, and then the metals crash back down. Because if everyone owned 1 ounce of silver, it would bankrupt the Federal Reserve and all the government entities, because it's real money. It's the people's money. That is silver. And gold, of course, that's the sun. We love gold. All that glitters is gold.
Well, gold, as I've said so many times, is unique in this world from my perspective. It is the only thing that exists outside of time. It does not change. It just is what it is. 10,000 years from now, it'll be what it is. And as far as I know, it is the only thing I am aware of that can make that claim. If I left silver out, it would tarnish. Any other metal would rust or corrode. But to get back to the point, not too long ago, a few days ago, we watched silver and gold. I think gold may have, what, $150 or more? In one leap, I don't remember exactly, but silver was right with it. And like you, I started thinking, here it goes. Silver's going to the moon, because I expect that an ounce of silver is going to land on $100. And I further expect that what we're seeing here is the precursor to the up valuation of both gold and silver to the point where the average person will no longer be able to afford it.
I absolutely agree. You know, when we think of gold and silver, that's the sun and the moon. And so they are powerful entities, but man has been corrupting the moon, the feminine energy, since the beginning of time. We used to have a lunar count, but they threw that away. And now we just have a solar count, always denigrating the feminine archetypal energy. But silver will hit the moon. We will see triple digit silver at some point in time. And when you look at gold, it is incorruptible. It's a precious metal, and gold is very close to God. So when you look at the three metals of the sun, so when you think of the sun, we have a sunrise, a midday sun, and a sunset. So the three metals of the sun since antiquity has always been gold is the alchemical metal, the masculine alchemical metal of the sun. Hydrogen, of course, is the neutral energy of the sun, because the sun, after all, is 75% hydrogen. And we also know that the feminine energy of the sun is magnesium, because photosynthesis that bursts life on planet Earth can only happen with magnesium in the chlorophyll to give that the plants their green blood because of magnesium. Your red blood is because of iron. Your blue blood is because of copper. But the plants and photosynthesis is magnesium. And those are the three metals of the sun.
Well, I think you're making an important correlation that most people lose. When you started, you said there's only one real money, and that is silver primarily, but gold and silver. In 1971, maybe 72, I think it was 71, when Nixon pulled us off the gold standard, I would estimate that more damage was done to the markets of the world, as far as we are concerned, than any other thing that had ever happened. It set the stage for where we are now. And further, I'm reasonably sure that the Rothschild family, vis-a-vis the banking system in London, still sets the price of gold. But I know people who have been in this generationally. These are the people when I first started to stack that I met. They claim that if the free market was, or back then, it's been a few years, they claim that if the free market set the price for silver, it would be over 50 grand an ounce. How do you feel about that statement?
I think it's definitely would be in the thousands if it was really its true value, but we know how much Wall Street is manipulated. We know that the people's money is manipulated. That's why we have this paper currency that, to me, it controls us. So money is currency. Currency is current. Current is energy. Control the currency, you control the flow of energy on planet Earth, and that's how they use money in currency to control us.
Good point. And if you consider it as currency in a current, most of us are living paycheck to paycheck. In other words, we're in charge of still water. There is no current. We're barely getting by. And if you notice the people who have capital, who have money, there is a current, a big flow, constantly going, never stops. But this also brings me back around to the idea of the universal one, which I respect at the highest levels. And this is the book put forth by Walter Russell. And if we consider the metals that you've been talking about, which is also used as real money or used to be, maybe again, there's an alchemical idea that every metal can transmute through the metals, you know, copper, zinc, all these metals up to gold. But what I have read informs me that any metal that was going to transmute back to gold, the last thing it would be silver before it is gold. Are you familiar with this idea?
You know, I've heard about that, but I haven't really done the deep dive into that per se. But absolutely, you know, alchemy is the transmutation of lead into gold. But I look at that as metaphorically, it's the transmutation of lead, which represents Saturn. Saturn is furthest from the sun, so it represents death and darkness and decaying and aging, Father Time. It's cold, it's distant. So it's that dark, dying energy that we're transmuting into gold, which is the sun, the light of the world. So that alchemical transmutation happens consciously as we churn that dark, dying energy into the life energy of the sun. That's how I look at it.
So, I mean, you've nailed it, but this is the thing too, because the mainstream statement to defame alchemy, which, by the way, chemistry stands on the shoulders of alchemy, does not exist without it, even though it defames it regularly, calling it hokum. It's a more elegant and more natural solution. But my point is, they try to tell us that, yeah, it's just an old metaphor that was used to fool stupid people trying to turn lead into gold. But what I'm saying is, in my research, I currently accept that every metal can go through the chain and end up in gold, being silver before it is gold. And the reason it's so elegant to me is because of the spiritual ideas, like is so deftly put forward by Walter Russell.
Yes, absolutely. You know, why have we severed silver? We severed the silver cord to cut off the feminine energy to keep us in this male-dominating patriarchal energy, and we cut off the other half, which is the feminine energy, which is why we are in disbalance. So when the sun and the moon, when gold and silver find their rightful balance, then we're going to have a little bit more equanimity on this planet with the balance.
I agree. But even as we say this, in the mainstream view of things, the feminine energy is attempting to transmute itself more masculine. In the same way Jason and I covered the population decline in the civilized world, as they used to call it. From the 70s forward, we pointed to things like women's lib, where women used to start families, or men and women used to start families in their early 20s after women's lib. And the argument was they convinced women to act more like men so they could get paid more like men, moving the start of a family up into their 30s, drastically reducing the birth rate. But if we look at film today, feminine energy is almost non-existent. They've got women wielding machine guns and machetes any bit as savagely as any man you've ever seen.
Now, coming back to cinema, that's the silver screen. That's the moon energy.
There you go.
It's reflecting the light. That's the feminine energy. And so they're controlling us through the movies, controlling the feminine, controlling the silver. Even in the birthing process, when we cut the cord, we cut the umbilical cord that has all your stem cells and all the good stuff for the baby to get. We cut that too quickly. Then we drop silver nitrate in the eyes. So right from the get-go, the feminine energy is severed as the silver cord is severed. And then you see that they come in with high octane oxytocin or high octane pitocin, which is synthetic oxytocin, the love chemical. And so they're severing that bond of love from the very get-go by messing with the feminine energy, messing with the moon, severing the cord, silver nitrate drops. And oxytocin is a moon chemical because the moon rules the pineal and the posterior pituitary. So it's attacking. So as they attack us in a very kind of sophisticated, energetic way that severs that feminine energy. So yes, I agree with what you're saying there.
It's gotten to the point where I don't know how many years ago it was when it was crystal clear that gender was the weapon that was going to be wielded. And the thing about this is nature does not lie. And when we begin to talk about gender, this is foundational to all else that will follow with life. And so what we see is this manipulation of the feminine, but it's not just the feminine, it's across the board, even to the point where the idea has been put forward that if you were born this gender, you don't have to accept that. You can swap your gender any day you want. And these are not only untruths, it is so damaging to anyone who is interested in the truth.
Yeah, when we look at gender, we're going to come back to the planet Venus and the metal copper, because copper happens to be the most dysregulated metal in all of human physiology. And copper has everything to do with the estrogens. So copper being the feminine energy of Venus, the most feminine hormone in us is estrogen. And we know copper and estrogen are intimately related. And so with all the fake estrogens that causes the copper retention, that as the copper is retained, then if that copper hydroxylates a part in the brain, that's going to make you, you know, it's going to turn boys into little girls, feminize the masculine energy, where we don't have any alpha males. We have beta males wanting money for nothing, chicks for free. And meanwhile, the women are becoming masculinized. And it all has to do with copper at the end of the day, because that is the most dysregulated metal, mostly because of the fake estrogens that cause copper retention. But we're also in the Bronze Age. So I could have told you 2,000 years ago, when we enter the Bronze Age, that copper will be the most dysregulated metal. And then we're running our water through copper piping. When we think about what brought down the Roman Empire, or what was part of the demise of the Roman Empire, they ran their water through lead pipes. We're running our water through copper Venus pipes. And so this is how they energetically attack us. And then when we lose that balance of the sun and the moon, yin and yang, masculine, feminine, then we have disharmony on planet Earth. And it always comes back to the metals. And I always want to say that the metals are just not dead rock of soulless dust floating in space. Metals contain a astral cosmic force that bursts life.
If that could have been said in a better fashion, I don't know how you would ever do it. And so how do you view, as the example you put forward, water coming through copper? Now, on the West Coast, when I was in San Diego, most of that water that I saw was coming through PVC, which I know is not a great thing. But when I come to the East Coast, so many of the houses are getting their water through right angles and through the angles of sorrow mostly, but it's coming through copper. And so what do you see as the side effect of that?
The side effect of copper toxicity is plentiful. There's a plethora of symptoms. So you got to think copper is the most reactive metal on the periodic table that moves electrons is silver. The second one is copper. Silver is not a nutrient mineral. Copper is. So in your mitochondria, in the final phase of donating the electrons to molecular oxygen, copper is the final donator of electrons to oxygen, in which that copper binds to the oxygen and splits the oxygen into water and CO2 and creating our ATP. So how a copper dysregulation will affect the mitochondria, will affect the fatigue and low energy. And when the energy starts to deplete in the body, that's going to set the table for every chronic disease under the sun. And that's where we start to see in that mitochondria, in that electron transport chain, you have iron sulfur clusters donating the electrons along the chain to copper, and then copper is that final donator. So there we see that iron and copper, Mars and Venus playing out all day long. So if we don't deal with this copper toxicity, its end game is going to be either the cancers, which is where apoptosis doesn't work, or when apoptosis, that's programmed cell death, when apoptosis works too fast, too quick, that's all your brain diseases. That's your senility diseases, your Parkinson's, your MS, et cetera. So the end game of copper is apoptosis is dysregulated, either leading to the cancers on one hand or the brain diseases on the other. And before you get to that level, you're going to have a lot of copper dysregulation symptoms because it's tied to the whole feminine menstrual cycle. So you're going to see PMS and migraines and all that type of stuff, connective tissues, because copper is needed for all your connective tissues. So you're going to have weak arteries, weak veins, ligaments, and tendons will be easily tearing, leading to hemorrhoids, varicosities, aortic aneurysms. But copper is such a big player, which is why it is the number one dysregulated metal, because it has a love affair with oxygen. Iron loves oxygen. Copper loves oxygen. So there's some creatures that breathe using copper. And we call that blood hemocyanin, like the horseshoe crab. So the horseshoe crab, the octopus, they all breathe using copper instead of iron. So we know that it loves oxygen, and that's its gift, but that's also its curse. That's why we got to respect iron and copper.
You're talking about blue bloods there at the end, right?
Yeah, blue blood. That's the blue blood. That's the horseshoe crab. You know, medical science will take that horseshoe crab, drain its blood, drain 30, 40% of its blood and use it in vaccine experiments. Medical science will use it for testing equipment, manufacture and testing of vaccines. And that becomes a very expensive blood because that horseshoe crab, because of its blue blood, has survived ice ages, has survived species extinction, but yet the horseshoe crab for 450 million years is still there because of that copper blood. And so when medical science drains the blood of these creatures, they throw it back into the ocean and they end up dying because they just drain their vital force.
Where I live, when I was a kid, we used to have them come in every year. That's tied to the moon to reproduce. They're almost non-existent now for the reasons you were stating. But for those people listening who are out there rolling their eyes because you have made the metallic planetary associations and other things, how about if you and I right now grab Tuesday? Let's talk Tuesday. Let's talk Mars. Let's talk iron and associate it to the real world to prove the point, which is undeniable, about the references you have been laying down. Shall we?
Absolutely. So the day of Mars is Tuesday. What do we do in popular culture on Tuesday? We vote on Tuesdays, presidential speeches on Tuesday, declarations of war on Tuesday, the emergency alarm broadcasting system, they ring the bell I think it's the first Tuesday of every month, but I could be wrong on that. But it is a Tuesday, whether it's the first, second, third, or fourth Tuesday of every month. It's always they ring the alarm bells on Tuesday. And of course, the infamous 911 happened on a Tuesday, the day of war. And we've been at war ever since.
The reset began on a Tuesday, but you could have told me that before it happened, couldn't you?
Absolutely. That's why each day of the week has a planet association. And so that's why seven is God's favorite number. That's why we have the 7 days in the week, the seven colors in the rainbow, the seven verses in the Lord's Prayer, the seven colors in the rainbow, the seven tones in the musical scales, because they understand seven. The magnificent seven are incorruptible by man. No matter what we do to the calendars, whether we cut them in half or go to Gregorian counts or Julian Caesar counts or leap years or daylight savings or sidereal astrology or Western astrology, whatever we do to screw up the astrology, the uncorruptible are the seven visible orbs to the naked eye. Those are the magnificent seven, the seven heavenly luminaries, incorruptible, that are the primal principles that are lived out in us through the metals. So each metal encapsulates that cosmic force of a planet, and that planet, whether it's the sun, the moon, Mars, Venus, whatever, that's lived out in us through the metal correspondence, as above, so below. So if we want to understand copper, we will look to the planet Venus. When we want to understand iron, we look to the planet Mars. When we're anemic and we're lacking that iron, that's when we become the doormat, we're getting walked on. We need a dose of a homeopathic iron phosphate as a tissue salt or iron metallicum as the metal of Mars. So we can give that to help build up the blood in us, or to help give us that Mars energy so we don't become the doormat, so we can fight the good fight. And when you look at how we just rolled over and played dead and took the proverbial knee during this whole global sickness campaign, and no one had that Mars fight to fight the good fight because we're lacking the energetics of Mars, the energetics of iron, and that's why we're all walking around anemic. And Mars also rules the gallbladder. And we see that the gallbladder is yanked out during the Mars cycle between 42 to 49 is the most common time they remove the gallbladder. And so Mars rules the adrenals. Mars rules the muscles, the tendons, and the Achilles tendon. That's a classic Mars iron energy. So we want to understand the energetics of these minerals so we can incorporate them in homeopathic potency to build up, whether we're building up the blood, the immune system, or digestive support. We use these metals intelligently, understanding that they're a cosmic force that is so powerful when we take in the energetics of it. And through transmutation, it helps build us up. Now, that was a lot to unpack.
But, I mean, you're ringing the bell every time. It has been said that everything is written in the stars and that no man can change the stars. You're right. The truth resides and it can't be changed, even if it's not recognized. It resides. It is there for us. And what has been changed is our perception. The planets are not destinations, for crying out loud. They are foundational parts of this truthful thing we call nature. They're energies. They are representational. They're many things, but not a destination, are they?
You're right. They're energetics that are incorruptible. So this is where we start to have more of a reverence for these luminaries. And when we have more of a reverence and understand our connection to it, when you think of that, I always say that minerals are the spark plugs of life. So when you look at conception, when that zinc-loaded sperm cracks the cosmic egg creating life, we see right there in the birth of a human, that's the zinc spark of life from the moment, from the very moment we enter this planet. And so seeing that how minerals encapsulate this cosmic force, showing the zinc spark of life from the get-go. And so this is the importance of understanding that these planets are just, you know, like I said, dead rocks floating in space. They contain that cosmic force that are lived out through the minerals in us. So when we're trying to deal with copper, we want to understand, are we going to use this copper? So when you think of Venus, Venus is love, it's sex, it's beauty, it's art, it's all those beautiful things in life. But sometimes that Venetian energy can become venereal. And so we want to be able to venerate the copper Venus energy so it doesn't become venereal. And when I say venereal, we used to call all our sexually transmitted diseases venereal diseases. So the venereal diseases can be on a physical level, or it could be on a psychological level, where that's the fallen essence of that Venetian energy. We've lost the veneration of it, and it became venereal.
I mean, it's so much that you're laying down in one shot. When you think about the sky clock these days, do you accept anything that NASA has put forward? I mean, just for a side conversation, I'm just going to ask.
Yeah, no, you know, it's like I said, no matter what they do to the clock, they've hijacked it. I mean, just look at the ridiculousness of daylight savings and leap years and this nonsense that we're inundated with. We don't know if we're coming or going. So Father Time is controlled by Saturn, where they took the feminine energy out. So they took the lunar counts out of the equation. So now we just have a masculine energy controlling time. And so time doesn't even exist. So this is how they're controlling us. I mean, it's amazing how they manipulate every aspect of it. But the sky clock is the most important thing in our universe. When we understand it, it's our blueprint to help navigate through this earthly existence that we're in. We have the cardinal fixed mutable. So the four fixed signs of the zodiac is Scorpio, Aquarius, Leo, Taurus, S-A-L-T, salt. It's fixed in the clock, in the sky, because we are the salt of the earth. And so we have to understand, we have to build up the mineral grid so we can go through the 12 houses. We're going to learn how to read and write through the grades 1 through 12, but we get schooled when we understand the sky clock above. As we enter each house, it's going to present us with a learning lesson. And we're either going to learn consciously or we're going to learn unconsciously. The choice is ours.
So you put forward another provable example of the manipulation by the clock change. So twice a year, we have a thing called an equinox. Don't ask me why we chose night in that name. It basically, I think it's German meaning equal night. But what it actually means is down to the second, daylight and nighttime will be even. It's like a balance. But every year when we come up to the spring equinox, what happens? They change the clock an hour. Every year when we come to the fall or autumnal equinox, what happens? They change the clock for an hour. And each one of us has experienced this. What happens? Well, for a few weeks, we feel off, right? We've been setting our alarm to get up to work. The clock changes and we're out of sync. We can't get back in the natural rhythm when things like this are done. It reminds me, they claim there was an Indian chief back in the day who said something to the effect of only the white man would come up with daylight savings time. It's a bit like cutting the bottom off a blanket, sewing it to the top, and act like you've changed something.
Yeah, it's the most ridiculous thing I've ever been a part of. But here we are, you know, so we know that when they screw up our time, it throws off the pineal. The pineal is the regulator of all biorhythms in life. And so we know the pineal gland gives us the serotonin, which is the light element, the melatonin, which is the dark element. That's the sun and the moon. And in between the light and the dark is the DMT, the dimethyltryptamine. That's the spirit molecule that trips the live fantastic to understand that we are part of this universe, uni-one-verse song. It's a one song. When the seven chords come into balance, then we're all going to be singing the same song. But they keep manipulating everything, especially the sky clock. So no wonder why we're walking around and we don't know what's coming and going. And we got boys turning into girls. We got women fighting in mixed martial arts. We're constantly at war because you control Father Time. You can manipulate everything under the sun.
It is my point of view currently that we started to lose it in high gear around the year 1666. And this has to do with corporation and the KSSV and all the other things people talk about. In 66 or thereabouts, I often mark what we call the Renaissance as about the time when things really started to shift from a world we no longer have a good view of. You know, the world where cathedrals and things like that came into view. But around 1666, when things started to change, we get the corporations and their dead entities now given the rights of a person, and all these things begin to change. But we slowly start being separated from nature, where all truth resides. There's an old Christian ethic which demonstrates the church's effort to do this by calling someone a pagan. Well, the original meaning of that was basically someone who lives close to nature, right? But it became an insult. As we come forward, we've come so far that now we don't even know where we are. And if you don't know where you are, you have no idea where you can go. But what's worse is little things have been populated in the world consciousness. Like we look up, there's Mars, there's Saturn. These are planets or planets or whatever that initial word might have meant. And we are told we're like that. You're on Earth. And when you look up and see those little round things up there, that's where you are. And it is vexing to consider how this has taken hold. How is it that we could be convinced of such things?
It's amazing. I mean, this is why whoever these controlling entities are, they are chess masters. They're 10 moves ahead of us. And if we think we can outsmart them, think again. We have to study them. We got to really understand how they're manipulating things like the sky clock, understanding how they use that to manipulate absolutely everything. This is why they demonized, if you study astrology, that's devil worship. So they've been demonizing the sky clock since the beginning of time. Meanwhile, they use it to control us in every which way. So there has to be a fundamental kind of shifting of the guards as we awaken our innate intelligence to understand that we are stars, but yet we've lost that ability. So we worship the fallen stars in Hollywood and all that nonsense. So once we start to understand, we become the star as we build up the mineral grid so we can create a better thinking man's brain, have better health, better blood, better enzymes, better everything. But it starts with the mineral grid, and they know how to control that. And that's how they manipulate the minerals. And that's why you mess with zinc, there will be no procreation. Why are men shooting blanks? The sperm count has dipped 50% since the 1960s. And if that goes a little bit lower, that will be your sixth level extinction factor. And that's because they're manipulating zinc. And they're manipulating zinc with the heavy metals. So mercury, one ion of mercury will displace 1,000 ions of zinc. And that's just one metal. You talk about the atrazines, the glyphosates, the phytates, the oxalates. They all chelate out the minerals, especially zinc. So if you can control these metals on an energetic level, you're going to control us. So this is why we have to become the star. We have to build our health up. We got to be able to use the crude doses of minerals. We got to be able to use the energetic of the minerals and homeopathic potency or a true alchemical formula. But that takes years to make. So homeopathy is the brilliance of using the energetics of these planets so we can incorporate them into our life.
Could we state that vibration is the most powerful medicine we have access to?
Energy, vibration, frequency absolutely is the most powerful medicine that we have. When you look at homeopathy, the only doctor immortalized in your nation's capital is Samuel Heneman, the founder of homeopathy. They have a statue of him. He's the only doctor immortalized in bronze. So during homeopathy's heyday, around the mid-1800s, all the way up to World War I, that was the people's medicine. Everyone was being treated with homeopathy. And then came them with the chemical insult of the wonder drug of penicillin. then Western medicine and the whole AMA started to demonize homeopathy because they controlled the money. You controlled the money. So they were funding the hospitals and all the studies, demonizing homeopathy. Yet homeopathy stood the test of time. It was there through all the plagues and the pestilence, through all the epidemics, pandemics, through the infections and dysenteries and choleras and scarlet fevers and typhoid fevers, yellow fevers, Spanish flus, diphtheria, typhus, smallpox. Homeopathy was beautiful with amazing results in treating all those infectious organisms. Then came the AMA, then came the demonizing of homeopathy, and they threw it away. We used to have homeopathic hospitals, homeopathic research institutes. So they have destroyed it.
It's crazy. And what was the first thing you mentioned was the antibiotic. Well, what does that mean? Anti is against, biotic is life. So they introduced against life to destroy homeopathy, which actually cured. It actually healed. And it had for centuries, if not millennium, and they demonized it. And this is related to alchemy, which is also demonized. And why are they so able to manipulate? They never lost the knowledge of the sky clock, nor of alchemy, and that gives them access to the truth. And when I say truth, it's not what you're thinking. The truth is this works because nature proves it works. If someone puts on black gloves and uses it in a poor fashion, that's what we see. But literally, against life was the introduction. And in return, we got drugs based on petrochemicals, all of them. And I've now had a line of doctors on the podcast that have said there has never been a pharmaceutical that cured anybody of anything. And what's worse is they tend to focus on the symptoms, which is the body's red flag saying, I need help.
How are you supposed to make money if you go around curing patients?
You know, it's amazing how they've manipulated absolutely everything, and especially healthcare. The whole thing has been a fraud from day one since the AM came around. And when you look at homeopathy, it's similia similis curantur, like cures like. So they're using the like force to cure like. You fight fire with fire. And that's how we treat it, through the laws of similar. And the laws of similar is the number one tenet, the main pillar in homeopathy, when we find the like to cure like. That's why homeopathy is a deep study. It's an art and a science. And so we have to become more astute to the history of homeopathy and understand the beautiful clinicians that we've had through all the epidemics and pandemics, through all the things that we've seen on this planet with remarkable results. So as we start to use homeopathy in our practice, as we focus on the detoxification, cleaning up the lifestyle, mineralization, now we have a real fighting chance to exalt our health, because our DNA is programmed to live to 120. We're lucky to make it to 80 today. So when we start understanding that we can live to 120, and I'm saying 120 where you're functional, where someone doesn't feed you, where you're not in a nursing home, where someone's changing your shit bag or whatever they're doing. So we want quality of life, but the quality of life starts with, we have to take control of our health today. And to do that, we got to understand that every disease is a toxicity and a deficiency, and we have to address the toxicities and the deficiencies. So with medicine, with all their antipyretics, antihistamines, the whole thing of medicine is anti, and they got a whole slew of anti this, anti that. That's called suppressive medicine. Suppressive medicine is called symptom shift, symptom displacement. So when they're treating you with an asthma medication, or let's say it starts with an eczema. So they treat you with an eczema steroid cream, the eczema goes away, and they pat themselves on the back. And then all of a sudden, a year later, that child that had that horrible eczema that was treated with the steroid cream, it now turns into asthma. Symptom shift, symptom displacement. So you suppress the eczema, now it went into a deeper, more important organ, your whole respiratory system. And that's the whole allopathic model, is suppression. So we don't want to suppress anything. We want to be able to understand the energetics of our disease and illness and to use the brilliance of homeopathy so we have a real chance of healing.
For my part, I've always had so much faith in the homeopathy that I was exposed to, and then I met Fortune. And after that, all bets were off the table. Not only did he help me, but when I began to learn how many people he'd helped and how he had done it with bottles of liquid that Amazon carries some of them for $7. And he informed me there was a senator back in the day when they were wiping out homeopathy who managed to pass a law that guaranteed we would have access to homeopathy and the remedies over the counter in perpetuity. And he began to explain to me what you were just talking about. Universities, huge medical centers, all around homeopathy that had been handed down for Lord knows how long. Stories of people who had emigrated from places like China, who had a lineage that went back nearly 1,000 years in homeopathy. And then we were told that some of these people who refused to give in when they were defaming the homeopathy that was supposed to be ours, they ended up in the booby hatch. All these massive buildings that were filled with people supposedly mentally deficient in some way. It's crazy when you begin to realize. But as he gave me these remedies, he began to teach me how to deal with them. And the first thing that struck me was he said, oh, that bottle's half gone. I'm going to teach you how to dilute it. And I said, well, I don't want that. It will be diluted. It will be less effective. And he said, contraire. Do you want to describe why what I thought was true wasn't?
Yeah, he's brilliant. Having him on your show has been a gift to all of us because he is a brilliant mind and he's teaching us homeopathy in his way that just makes it so lovable and understandable for the average person to grasp. A very complicated system because when you're working with homeopathy through the art and science of potentization, you start with a crude poison or whatever. It can be anything from the animal, plant, or mineral kingdom. And through the art of potentization, you're freeing the information. The information is what we care about. Remember, information is always non-physical. So when they're making a remedy, it's potentized beyond Avogadro's number. So then the chemist will look at it and say, oh, the hoax has been exposed. There's nothing in there. That's just the point. We don't care about that. We care about information. Information is always non-physical. And it's the information is that we care about.
So we've got to describe better so that everyone grasps what you just said. What I was getting at is I thought the dilution had literally diluted. It was less effective. The opposite was true. It was more effective because it had been diluted. And so what you just mentioned, I think, is when people were trying to defame those liquid remedies, they would do things like take one that had been diluted down so much that in a lab, they couldn't detect anything in the liquid. So they said, you guys are out of your mind. This is not a remedy. There's nothing in it. But this is what Fortune taught me. One of my bottles had gotten down to there was just so almost nothing left in the bottle because it was at about a third and I tipped the bottle over and I lost almost everything. There's only a little left. And he told me, don't worry, go do the dilution. And I said, you know, how can this be? And he said, young man, don't you comprehend that the vibration is still within the bottle.
It's all vibration. It's all energy, vibration, frequency. And so when you find the similium, then it bypasses digestion and you get that energy that bypasses the blood-brain barrier to affect consciousness to influence a healing reaction in the person. And you're working with the vital force. And we always, as a homeopath, we're always assessing the vital force. So we always have to be able to see, is the vital force moving in the right direction or the wrong direction? So when we're giving an energy remedy, we're assessing the vital force based on the laws of similar, the minimum dose. But that minimum dose, when you're dealing with cell salts, that has one part per million. That's either going to be a 6X potency. Cell salts can be a 3X, 6X, or 12X, depending on if you're in the United States or other foreign countries. But in the United States, the tissue salt is a 6X potency. That has one part per million. Let's say it's magnesium phosphate. So it's got one part per million of magnesium that it affects the entire mineral grid of magnesium. And then energetically, because it's made in homeopathic fashion of circassian and percussion, you get the energetics to deal with muscle cramps and twitches, uterine period pains. So when women are having the most horrific uterine cramps during their cycle, instead of giving them Midol, Tylenol, Advil, or whatever, you tell them to take 10 pellets of the tissue salt MagFos, put it in some warm water, sip on that, and that will work beautifully for those horrific bent over double type of period cramps. This is the genius of homeopathy.
All right. Rose is asking us to get into hair testing, which I want to do, but I want to lay down a quote from Michael Hoffman at revisionisthistory.org. Every few months I post this because I've never seen it summed up so well. And of course, he includes the importance of alchemical ideas, which most people, particularly in the church, have been convinced are evil when it is in fact the original science that was tied to nature. I don't know how else to describe it. Anyone can misuse anything, but here it is. Why are Americans inert, indeed, almost paralyzed in the midst of so many dramatic revelations lately concerning the perfidious iniquity of our rulers? Centuries ago, it was deduced that in this time and in this place, after enough immersion, wait for it, in the alchemical crucible, the people would be in a psychological decay state where we are exhausted by the truth. In past generations, revelations of high crime would be revitalizing incentives to concerted action and bringing perpetrators to justice. In the West, in the century's 21st society of the spectacle, there are mostly grist for the thrill of the weak. Let me read that again. In the West, in century 21, society of the spectacle, there are mostly grist for the thrill of the weak on the part of the mass of degenerate voyeurs spectating at their own demise, and which they aspire to obtain a front row seat. And there is so much packed in that I mean, right now we don't have time to go into it, but I wanted to put it forward. Michael Hoffman, catch his posts each week.
Yeah, that's profound.
It's beyond profound. It is one of the best pieces of writing as it exists in our situation now that I've ever come across. But before we run out of time in hour one, let's get into the hair testing. Do you want to lead us into this?
Every lab test has its good parts and bad parts. So, you know, that's for every lab, whether it's blood, hair, urine, stool, whatever. To me, hair test is the most honest test we have in medicine. So is it perfect? No. But man, does it expose the toxic metals? Does it reveal the minerals and the mineral grid? Does it reveal the ratios? Absolutely beautifully. So the hair testing to me is the most honest test we have in all of medicine, but you're not going to glean too much information from one hair test. We got to understand that it's serial hair testing so we can tweak our program as we, every 5 months or 6 months, we do a hair test to see what has happened. Are we going through a metal dump? Has our ratios changed? Did the calcium magnesium ratio change? That's the blood sugar ratio. Did the thyroid ratio, calcium potassium ratio, the life or death ratio, sodium and potassium, sodium magnesium, another adrenal ratio. So when we're looking at hair testing, we're able to see the organs and glands from a mineral perspective. We're able to see the toxic metals, whether we're poor eliminators or whether we're dumping a toxic metal. And when we are dumping a toxic metal, this is where you better have that zeolite and all that, all your binders to help mop up that garbage, because you do not want that to get reabsorbed back into the blood. Then it can get deposited into the brain, the heart, the kidneys, wherever. So hair testing is such a beautiful test, but most importantly, on an esoteric level, it's a living birth chart. So we can really see the planets in us as a living microcosmic birth chart. As above, so below, and we can really view the mineral grid in such a beautiful way when we understand the mineral connection to the planet. And that's why, like I said, if we want to understand Saturn, we understand calcium. And then all of mineral balancing is based on keeping calcium in check. When calcium goes rogue, that's going to be rigor mortis. That's the great calcification. That's Saturn's return, death in darkness. So the whole goal of mineral balancing is to keep calcium in check, and sodium and potassium keep calcium in solution. And magnesium is the great, magnesium modulates calcium better than anything. So when you think of all excitable tissue, nerves, muscles, heart muscle, skeletal muscle, smooth muscle, anytime any excitable tissue contracts, calcium is the impetus for contraction, but the opposite is magnesium to relax it. So when we die and we go into rigor mortis, that's because the spark of the sun, the spark of life, magnesium, is no longer there to oppose calcium, and all the calcium channels are released, and that caused a full-blown contraction that we call rigor mortis, which is death, Saturn's return.
Jason, I'm pretty sure we should bring up and ask the good doctor if he's familiar with Masterpiece. I'm still using it every day. My wife is, numbers of people in my family and others who I have met. I've heard the most amazing stories. We told the one about the nonverbal autistic children who became verbal. Are you and Rose still using the Masterpiece?
I'm still using it every day consistently, and I have been for quite some time. Rose uses it sometimes.
Yeah, she's a unique situation, though. But Masterpiece, which he just mentioned when he started to say zeolite, which much effort was made to defame that recently. And I just want to say it's one of those things, like the magnesium, like the things that I take nearly every day, which have made such a big difference. So Dr. Selig, are you familiar with Masterpiece?
Yes, I am. I'm very familiar with the binders and all that stuff. I haven't tried his product personally, but my one caveat to that is there is a time and place to use a binder like a zeolite. So initially, you're going to absorb a lot of the toxic metals just in the GI. What it won't really get to is the toxic metals that are in enzyme binding sites. For example, if cadmium is in the carbonic acid enzyme or the carbonic anhydrase enzyme, you got to raise the zinc before that cadmium comes out, because that cadmium is actually, it's a replacement part. It's doing the job of carbonic acid, which regulates CO2 in the body. That's in the lungs. In the red blood cells, it's regulating CO2 in the red blood cell and in the lungs. In the kidneys, it's your bicarbonate buffering system, your number one buffering system of the body. And then in the stomach, that's how you make stomach acid. So when we're taking the zeolite, we're removing the copious amounts of the metals in the digestive tract that's easy to grab. But we're going to hit that brick wall where it's not going to be getting to those enzymes in the kidneys and the lungs and a red blood cell. That's where the mineral balancing has to come on board, because the all-seeing brain is not going to release the cadmium until the zinc comes on board. So when you look at your periodic table of elements in the zinc family, zinc sits on top. Right under zinc sits cadmium. Right under cadmium sits mercury. So they're very similar. It's molecular mimicry. So they're very similar. They have the same valency as zinc. And so they become replacement parts, and they end up doing the chemistry of what zinc does. And so you just can't pull out the cadmium or you're going to crash and burn and die. So that's why we have to focus on the mineral balancing to get the minerals on board. And then these toxic metals from the enzymes will start being released. So that was a lot to unpack, because I really gave that a short explanation, but I probably confused the shit out of you on that.
No, from the medical purveyors that we respect, we've heard a very similar thing. When you're really, really toxic and you're trying to detox, it's going to take some effort. And the balance of vitamins and minerals is key in that. And when you're in a critical state, there's probably not a one-step thing or something you can ingest that will just take care of you, that it's going to take some effort, if I repackage that correctly.
Yes, you did. That's why I said initially taking the zeolite's beautiful because we're all loaded with so much garbage just in the intestinal tract. So it's going to mop that stuff up. But then to get to the deeper layers, this is where we got to have a deeper appreciation for to not look at that magic silver bullet, because we're promoting everything from methylene blue to hydrogen tanks and every vitamin's been peddled. So we got to come back to basics. We got to always work for the nutrients. We got to work. We got to do the homework and work for whatever nutrient we're taking. So we got to do the detox. We got to do the emotional healing because that holds a charge, because everything holds a charge. So in the minefield of the psyche, those metals, those toxic metals can turn you into a hardened criminal, a serial rapist, where you lose empathy and compassion. That's where these toxic metals get in and displace the nutrient mineral, and then that changes the personality. So this is why my goal is to get people more of a, to not delude you with delusions that we can just fix everything with one supplement or one thing.
Right.
It's a process. And getting healthy, it's a 7-year journey to get to first base, 7 years to get to first base.
When I mentioned what I mentioned, I should have stated for me at this point, it's a maintenance thing. And I did not, you know, I had years of learning and doing other things. For me, the things that I take daily now are intended to be a maintenance, but we are close to the top of the hour. Jason, do you want to ask anything before we wrap hour one?
Well, there's something I noticed going back for decades now that maybe we can address in hour two. Precious metals have been being suggested to be used as a buffer against inflation. We can go all the way back to the 90s, early 90s, with Bill Cooper talking about it on his show. You can go back 20 years. Alex Jones was really pushing it. And you're still hearing it these days. And it seems like every time something comes up with the economy, it starts to shoot up. The prices on gold and silver especially start shooting up. And then something happens and it gets suppressed back down. So maybe we can address that in hour two.
So we're going to open with that. So Dr. Selig, we will open and try to clearly lay down why gold and silver are the solution for just about everything. But can you please lay down one more time where folks can find you and your work?
Back to Natural Health. That's my website. And I have a lot of YouTube videos getting into many health related subjects, from mineral balancing to heavy metals, detoxification, and the cell salts. I've done an extensive video series on the 12 cell salts.
All right. So that brings us to the top of hour one. We're going to take a very short break and come back for hour two. And I'm loving it. Here's a man who speaks my own language better than I do, by the way. Hour one is free to everybody at crow777radio.com. That is crow777radio.com. Members know to log in for the full episode and members get access to everything. I just released the 19th member solar video, which includes the first filming that I'm aware of the so-called solar wave. In other words, remember the lunar wave? I filmed it in front of the sun. It's now posted for membership. Also is free access to Shoot the Moon. When you become a new member, you get to choose free solar images that I've shot in the hydrogen alpha wavelength. When you sign up, you just get to download those. In Shoot the Moon is the initial discovery, along with 5 lunar waves that I shot and 2 more from Randy of Houston, is the initial discovery of the so-called second sun. With that, we're going to take a short break. I hope to see you logged in as a member for hour two, and I'd like to wish you all a happy, healthy, and higher-minded new era. There it is, man. Cheers.
belief is the enemy of knowing.